The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men, you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say if one swears by the temple, it means nothing, but if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? And if you say if one swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated. You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it." The Gospel of the Lord. God, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Maybe I should say, woe to you, brothers and sisters. Now listen to this. Woe to you, blind fools, whitewashed tombs. These are words spoken by Jesus Christ, sweet and gentle Jesus, the Son of God, words spoken in greatest love, which is a really important reminder that just in case you thought that love meant always being nice, just in case you thought meant love never means saying something that might upset somebody, little reminder, genuine love always does what's best for the one to whom they're acting, even if it means speaking hard words. But that's the subject of a separate homily, okay? Because Jesus addresses these words to the Pharisees. And you know, the Pharisees show up all across the Bible. And it would really help to understand them a little bit better, just in case you don't. So who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were a reform movement within Judaism. And they arose at a time in which the Israelite people were governed by hostile foreign powers, the Greeks and then the Romans. And there's something about being governed by an authoritarian, hostile power that makes people want to appease that hostile power, even if it means surrendering their principles, which lots of Jewish people did. Pharisees arose as an opposition to that appeasement. They said, we're going to maintain our Jewish identity. And sometimes they exaggerated that Jewish identity. And by the way, just as an aside, Pharisees are the only group of Jews to survive to the present day. All Jewish groups in the world today are descendants of the Pharisees. All the other groups died out. Okay, they didn't have any intellectual offspring. But the reason why I bring up the Pharisees isn't to give you a Bible study here this morning. It's because the Pharisees were the devout and religiously observant people of the day. You know, kind of people who might do something like show up to Mass, oh, let's just say on a Monday morning. And Jesus reserves his harshest words not for the sinners, not for the tax collectors, not for the prostitutes, not for the woman caught in adultery. You know it as well as I do. His harshest words are reserved to the scribes and the Pharisees, the religiously observant people of the day, and that should make you uncomfortable. So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at the central accusation that Jesus makes against the Pharisees, and that is hypocrisy, okay? Because there's a fact, there's something about being religiously devout and observant that makes it a lot easier to be a hypocrite. And there's a truth that, you know, the truth of the matter is that you've found something, if something's really good, lots of people out there haven't found it, And religiously devout and observant people, they often fall into the problem of hypocrisy. And Jesus, boy does he have harsh words against it. Now, I've got to share something with you that I've discovered as a priest. And I hope this helps you. Hypocrisy is the second most common self-accusation that religious people make against themselves. The second most common thing that people will say in their own accusation is that they're hypocrites. You say, what's the first most common is impatience. I don't know what it is about impatience, but everybody loves to say how impatient they are, almost like they're proud of it, right? But the second most common is they say that they're hypocrites. Now, be careful. Almost all the time, when people say that they're hypocrites, they misdiagnose their own problem. Because what they really are accusing themselves of is struggling with some aspect of Christian moral living. You know, they struggle, they fail, and then they say, well, I guess I'm just a hypocrite. No. That means you're weak. That means you're frail. But that does not mean you're a hypocrite. Here's why. Hypocrisy is deliberate. The Greek word for actor is hypokrites. That's where we got the word. You can't act by accident. Acting is on purpose, right? Hypocrisy is deliberate, and this is what is deliberate about hypocrisy that makes it so difficult for Jesus to draw near, so difficult for a soul like that to draw near to Jesus. They refuse to admit the truth about themselves. They will not face the fact that they are weak sinners constantly in need of God. That's the essence of the problem of hypocrisy. So, for example, somebody who thinks they're a hypocrite most likely is not having a problem with hypocrisy at that moment, because the trouble with a hypocrite is they think that they're wonderful, right? They think they're the yardstick against which all other people shall be measured. That's the problem. They can't admit their own frailty. So if you were to accuse someone who's genuinely has trouble with hypocrisy, they will fly to their own defense. I'm not talking about a false accusation. Let's talk about a true accusation, right? You know, you leave your shoes in the middle of the floor. I do that because whatever. Fly to their own defense. And although lots of us like to piously tell ourselves that we're sinners, the moment we fall into sin, you know, very often people have this exaggerated response to their own sin as if to say, how could someone as good as me possibly do something as bad as that? That's hypocrisy. It's a failure to admit the truth about yourself. You are frail and you are constantly in need of God. So, for example, if you come across someone who does not have this problem with hypocrisy and you make a genuine accusation, again, I'm not talking about false accusations, they're all over the place, but a genuine real problem, you know, they'll hang their head and they'll say, yep, you're right, and I can tell you three or four more other things that you didn't even mention, right? Of course, I'm at fault. Yeah, I know it. I live with that knowledge. And when they commit a sin, you know, they take the advice of Padre Pio. They hate their faults, but they hate them calmly. They say to themselves, there I go again, but, you know, after all, I'm nothing but a soap bubble. What do soap bubbles do? Soap bubbles pop. You know, that's what they do. And this is the genuine problem. This is the trouble that makes it so difficult for a soul who is in hypocrisy to draw so near to Jesus. And that's why Jesus gets so upset at the scribes and the Pharisees, right? Because Jesus says, I came to call sinners, not the self-righteous. Which means that if you already think you're righteous, that he didn't come for you. And that's not a good thing. I've told this story before, but you know, from the life of our own patron, St. Therese, dying on her deathbed, right? Tuberculosis, has a moment of willed impatience with one of her fellow religious sisters, and she's thrilled because she can still say she qualifies for divine welfare, right? She's still a sinner, she's still in need of God, and she's grateful for the little reminder. It's a funny, strange irony, but the safer you think you are, the more you think you're, you know, God's best buddy, the more in peril you actually are. And the more you realize, constantly realize, your great, great need for God's mercy, the safer you rest in his loving arms. It's like St. Paul said, we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. So let's keep on working and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Augustine, pray for us.